Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 104, Gotham Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot. So for today's episode, or at least for the season finale or year 2 finale of the show, I thought I'd cover the pilot for a new kind of origin story set in the Batman universe. So rather than covering, they did cover the Batman origin story, but rather than just doing it in the traditional sense, they're going the route of a Commissioner Gordon origin story. So I thought I'd cover this, and then towards the end of the episode, I will get into some of the upcoming episode and lots of odds and ends to talk about as well. But before that, of course, I'll cover the pilot episode for Gotham. I'm going to do my insight a little differently than usual. It'll, as always, be the insight, but more of a character-by-character basis based on the part of the show that I actually really enjoyed the most, or the way it was presented. So with that, I'll jump right into it. The pilot episode of Gotham aired in the United States on September 22nd, 2014. The series tagline is The Good, the Evil, and the Beginning. A summary for the show, and subsequently the pilot, of course, is that this is the origin story behind Commissioner James Gordon's rise to prominence in Gotham City in the years before Batman's arrival. So basically your standard premise, it's not going too far outside of the universe of Commissioner Gordon and Batman. Once you watch the episode, and if you read the comics, I don't, but it's generally pulled from all over the Batman universe from my understanding of it, so they're not necessarily pulling one general storyline, but it is some of the later information we have, so it's as current as it can be, I guess. So I'll have a link to the IMDb page as well, along with a Wikipedia article, official website, and a YouTube playlist that includes a bunch of the promo material for the show as well, so you can get caught up on that as well. So with that, I'll jump right into the insight. So the episode covers a number of the different storylines for the characters that I'm going to talk about, but basically it ties directly, though, to, of course, Commissioner Gordon, or the police officer James Gordon, because of course this is more about the show about him and also the rise of the supervillains in the Batman universe. So I'll start it off with Selina Kyle. My insight for her is mostly that it seems that Trinity School for Rooftop Acrobatics works best in rainless scenarios, because this opening sequence that we see with Selina Kyle and her general other performances as far as her ability to stay hidden and out of sight is all in rainless scenarios. It seems that if you remember back for the original Matrix and Trinity's issues, or Trinity getting caught by the agents and all of that stuff, was that it was raining that particular day and that's how she got caught. But in the case of this particular episode, it was just your regular rainless night, dry, nothing out of the ordinary, and she was able to stay relatively hidden. Then later we're brought in after the killing of Bruce Wayne's parents, in that Jim Gordon is called to the scene with his partner, and it seems that training day never seems to go well for those transferring from other departments. So the episode in general, but mostly the initial scenes, seem that when Jim Gordon is basically, it seems like he's learning the ropes of this particular department, and it doesn't seem to be going very well. And it reminded me a lot of Training Day and the whole movie, in that it just didn't really go well because of the corruption in the department that the new cop is being transferred into. So it was actually done pretty well, but it was actually a good transferring of that storyline of Training Day into Gotham and the corruption that Jim Gordon is going to have to face. So to go into more of the internal workings of or going into the Gotham Police Department's internal workings, Harvey Bullock, Jim Gordon's partner, actually had a good summary of exactly how police life works in Gotham, especially since everybody's so corrupt. And it is the lesson learned, or one of the lessons learned from Blue Streak, in that, or a twist on the lessons learned in Blue Streak, in that you go after the little fish to keep the rest of the fish at peace. So Martin Lawrence's partner in Blue Streak sort of learned in the, or thing, or the thing that he learned was that you go after the big fish and you let the little fish go and you teach the little fish a lesson. But in this case, since Gotham is so corrupt, and we have the rich and powerful wanting to make sure that the police are doing their job, Harvey was basically just saying, go after the little fish, say you're doing your job, and leave it at that. Don't dig too deeply, because what's the point? Everyone's corrupt anyways. So later we're going into the storyline of Oswald Cobblepot and the Fish Mooney storyline, and basically, even though he was caught, it seems that the one thing he could have learned, because it seems like he's working his way up in the New York crime, or the Gotham City crime or scenarios, but he still seems a little bit too naive and not well versed in how to interact with people. But the one thing I thought he could have learned and seemed like a good scenario for his particular storyline in the show is that one doesn't undermine the bosses, they'll undermine themselves. So basically, it seems like his storyline is going to be to get in the way, start a bunch of different interactions that is going to allow different people to allow themselves to fall apart, and he can come in to pick up the pieces. But that's one way his storyline can go, is to become the boss. He'll come in and pick up the pieces, but essentially the character of the Penguin here would work best as the one who's undermining all the other criminals in the city. So as Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock are solving the what they thought is a case of the Wayne murder, are introduced to the storyline of Ivy Pepper, aka, or later to be known as, Poison Ivy. And essentially her storyline, while they didn't focus too much on her, it was more of her father. Her character was starting to show the ideals of letting the hate flow through her, and essentially how she becomes, or her mind becomes convoluted, I guess, later on in the Batman universe. So while her whole storyline is a twisted version of trying to please other people, essentially we can see the hate starting to rise up inside her, and how her hatred contrasts with Bruce Wayne's anger, in that his is more controlled and purposeful, and I guess hate and spite in the same situation. Hers is more of just direct hate at the police department. And so to round out the insight for this particular episode, I'll round it out with Alfred Pennyworth, in that his whole portrayal in this particular episode, and what seems to be the general portrayal in the series, is using the hate to help Bruce Wayne overcome the loss of his parents. So it seems like that's kind of where we're going to see their storyline going, in that he is a very determined and focused character, and he wants Bruce to not focus on the little things. He needs to focus on the bigger picture. Even though his parents were killed, it's overcome, don't let the hate get to him, and be the bigger person. So I summarized the episode as, I'll try and say this Italian as best I can, but essere forte, basically translating to be strong. So we have the one scene I did like that they kept with was Jim Gordon's speech to Bruce Wayne, that he's gonna keep at it and figure out who killed Bruce's parents, and his owning up to finding the wrong killer and letting Bruce know the truth, letting him know that he's gonna do what it takes to find the real killer and solve the murder. So It's not necessarily just Jim Gordon telling Bruce to be strong. It's that he needs to be strong for himself, even when he isn't sure what he needs to do. It's Barbara, his fiance, telling him that he always does the right thing, and knowing that no matter what the corruption is, it's Jim Gordon who's always a strong one, who's always sticking to the ideals of a better city and not becoming corrupt. So that's really all there is for that. So I give the episode a real score of an A. I really enjoyed it. They did a good presentation overall of all the different storylines of all the different characters. It was a good mashup. So I hope they do continue the good work and see how, I can't wait to see how the series progresses. So a few of the positives I thought for this episode is that they started presenting those initial traits for the Batman supervillain. So we see it's basically not just an origin story for Jim Gordon, but also all the different characters I mentioned. So Catwoman, the Penguin, Poison Ivy, and I'll get to the Riddler in a little bit. It's the one negative for the episode, but they started presenting those traits to see exactly how they became the villains that we know later and what helped to bring the rise of the Batman. The other positive was the Batman and Commissioner Gordon origin story. So I like that they didn't go too overboard with their stories. They presented the Wayne, or Bruce's parents' killings in the standard sense. They didn't go too crazy with it. The kid who played Bruce Wayne did a really good job. It was actually, I found it that it was not over the top or underwhelming. It was actually just right for what the character needed to be. So I'm glad they actually didn't really mess that up too poorly. And his interactions with Alfred, we saw the initial setup for their relationship, so we know where their relationship is coming from, and we can get a general sense of where they're gonna go with it, and we'll see exactly how it progresses over the course of the show. And finally, while I don't think this was meant to be a general storyline, but I'm not sure, is that I like that it was hard to discern the depth of Harvey Bullock's corruption, if there was any. I mean, from my understanding there and from what I read of him, he is actually corrupt. He is in the pocket of the mob and all the criminals of Gotham. But in this case, he was playing both sides of the field. I'm sure Jim Gordon is starting to suspect the corruption and is letting it go because it hasn't profoundly affected anything, but he's starting to work on his own as we progress through the episode. But I like that the character of Harvey Bullock is on the is basically walking that fine line between doing his job and the corruption and living with all the criminals in the city of Gotham. So he's basically accepted that they're a mainstay. So it's how do you make everybody happy, not just one person or one family happy over somebody else. And so my only negative in the episode was that there wasn't enough of Edward Nygma, or otherwise known as the Riddler, or to be known as the Riddler. They had him they presented him a little bit in the initial scenes of trying to figure out the bullet composition in the police lab, but that was really about it. So I kind of wish we saw a little bit more of him. While they didn't go overboard with the Selina Kyle Catwoman scenes, a couple of them in the middle, or maybe replace one of the scenes in the middle of the episode with another Edward Nygma scene with what he's more of his character type and how he does his job, maybe how he focuses too hard on his job, or maybe thinks too much out of the box in his rejection, or more of his rejection there. But it seemed like they presented all of that in one scene, but it would have been nice to see him in maybe one more scene outside of just his presentation. So that's kind of what I miss. I mean, they did give enough screen time to the other villains that we know, so one more would have been nice in this case. But no, it wasn't done poorly. It was just not enough for me. I kind of wanted a little bit more, so I guess that's the sign of a good story in that I did want more, but we'll see how they progress with his story later on in the show. But that is all for this particular episode. So a few bits of updates for the show. So since this is the last episode of year two of Real Insight, within the next week or so, the ebook will be available in the Kindle bookstore. So look out for that. You can check my Twitter feeds or the Google Plus or Facebook pages. I'll have it posted as soon as it's ready. This within the next week or so, you'll also see the Real Digest for September 2014. So look out for that. Same thing there. Look out for it on the website, on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, the Amazon ebook as well. I'll have everything posted as soon as it is available. A couple of thank yous also for this particular episode. I wanted to thank listener of the show, Kiki, for reminding me that Gotham was actually airing on Monday, or on September 22nd, because for some reason I didn't have a reminder set up, so I'm thinking I put it on a post-it note and forgot instead of putting it in Google Keep or something, but wanted to thank her for that reminder, so there's that. Also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 started up this week, so the next episode of the season, or the Year 3 initial episode, will cover that episode. Star Wars Rebels is airing on the Disney XD, I believe, online on September 26th, I think, and then on television October 3rd, so the second episode the week after that will or should cover that. I believe the week after that, The Walking Dead Season 5 premiere, so I'll have the next episode after that should be that. And of course, I haven't forgotten about the review for the Ken Burns documentary on the Roosevelts. I am still watching that, so hopefully the next few weeks I'll be able to finish. I think I have two or three episodes left there, so the episode after The Walking Dead should be that review, unless something else more pressing comes up, but that is still in the works to be an episode, so definitely look out for that. A lot of shows starting up again, so I will definitely be busy with my reviews as well. I think that is all I can think of at the moment off the top of my head. So if you have any questions, comments, insights of your own, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find all my ebooks at author.patelN01.com. And actually, that reminds me of a few more thank yous to all of you who have started to purchase my ebooks, be it for Real Insight, This Working Droid, or the Android Realm Digest. If you have any feedback for how to improve that, you can always contact me as well. But thank you, and keep spreading the word as well that way as well if you like the work there. So again, that you can get all the ebooks at author.patelN01.com. And of course, you can check out this show and more shows on the Geek.io website at geek-io.com. And the other thing I know I don't promote nearly as much, but you may see the link in the show notes, is the Geek.io Patreon. Every so often you'll hear an ad on this show, but if you want to make sure or help the show to be ad-free, if you want to see zero ads on the websites and all of that good stuff, be sure to support us on Patreon for those things, to help build new shows, build a network, all of that good stuff. The link is patreon.com/geek.io. In case I'm saying that wrong, but definitely check the link that is always in the show notes to help support this show and the network there as well. But that is all for this particular episode of Real Insight. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.